Today's message is called The Nail. The message is called The Nails. I was sitting up here a couple of weeks ago, and it was kind of strange. We were watching, or she was watching, I just kind of joined in on it, one of them Jesus of Nazareth programs, you know. And so the part I came in on was the part where he showed up and he was talking to Dalton Thomas or whatever, Apostle Thomas. And he was saying, look at my hands and look at my feet, touch it, see if it'd be real. Well, you know, they got a lot of, I stood outside so long that my throat got sore, so. They got philosophers and scientific allergy guys that are teaching that the nails weren't in his hands, but they were in his wrist, because it was impossible for him to be suspended from the cross with the nails in his hands. Like the hands weren't long enough. So I did some research on the hands and found out that besides there being bones going on through the hands, there's very strong muscle that's going through the hands that would enable him to hang from the cross. So I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about the nails, and I began to see maybe that's why he told us we had to take up our cross and carry it. You know, and we know how we're learning in corporate anointing class how God does things in threes. There was three nails. Amen. Just to show us that Jesus went through the same struggles and weaknesses we experience now. But see, Hebrews 4:15 said he did it without sin. For we have not a high priest who is tempted on all points as like we are, but yet without sin. The word sin there is translated not sins, but sin nature. Meaning that in spite of everything that he experienced, he didn't allow his soulless part of his being to have authority over the power of God that was in his life. There were three nails that was in his hand. There was his hands and his feet. Well, we know that supernaturally our hands represent our works and our feet represent our walk. Well, if you remember when the Spirit sent him up onto the mount, he had to deal with three things. But the three nails, they were approximately, I think I got it narrowed down, they were approximately about this long enough to go through his hands and his feet and still have structure enough to hold him there. But Jesus did something in threes too to represent the three nails. The three nails also represent corporate authority, corporate power. Oops. I was going to take pictures. Oh, bad. Corporate authority, corporate power. God just did everything in threes. You know, three nails. Jesus had three prayers on the cross, which represent the three nails. The three prayers, Luke 23:34. I didn't bring a Bible, because if I brought a Bible, we wouldn't get out of here. I'll let you research it. Amen. Luke 23:34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because he actually came to save and not destroy. Mark 15:34, my God, why have thou forsaken me? At that time, he not only bore our sins, but he became our sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And then his third prayer in Luke 23:46, he says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Representing the three nails. Well, I got a little deeper study, and I was able to narrow the three nails down by assessing the three prayers. His first prayer was like, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Nail of forgiveness. God requires us to forgive those who transgress and persecute us. That was one of his prayers. That's one of the nails represent that. Amen. That we forgive folks who despitefully use us, and we pray for them, and we get on with our lives, and we do what God has called us to do, and we not hold grudges. Because it's important that we represent the character of God and the nature of God at all times. Now, sometimes it may not seem feasible because it's going to be a little harder than other times, because you're going to be provoked more than you can ever imagine that you could be. But see, the problem with that situation is God does not care. He expects us to do his will anyway. He wants us to say with our spirits, Father, if you can, why don't you deliver me from this cup? But nevertheless, since I'm in it and I know I can do all things through you who strengthened me, that's okay. I'll go through what I got to go through. I copied a quote. I was researching. I copied a quote from Dr. William Ward, and it states this: we are most like beasts when we kill. We are most like men when we judge. We are most like God when we do what? When we forgive. And it's not easy to forgive folks a lot of times. Because even though you say you forgive them, you're constantly reminded of what they still did to you. That's that old nature going to keep reminding you of what they did to you. Going to keep reminding you how bad they hurt you. And then when you get to thinking about how bad they hurt you, now your heart really starts to hurt. And what we should realize at that point is that we really haven't forgiven, because you can't forgive and don't forget. In Luke 6:28, he prayed for them which despitefully used him. The nail of forgiveness. The second nail was the nail of mystery. This is the nail in the other hand. It's in Mark 15 and 34. What did we say that word was? Anybody? Was anybody paying attention? My God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? That was a hard time for Jesus. Because if you did any research of the cross, you'll find out that he spent 3 hours in total darkness and seclusion. Can you imagine being in darkness for 3 hours or hanging on a cross with folks down below you calling you all kind of names? And a lot of the stuff they did to him is not even mentioned in the Bible. Like, whatever they were doing when he was walking through the streets, like throwing rocks and spitting at him, didn't cease. They kept doing those things. And the 3 hours he was in total darkness, he was saying, Father, look here. I did what I came here to do for you. That's him standing in the midst of our humanity. How many times have you got in a situation that it seemed like you just couldn't get out, and you called on God and you didn't hear his voice? You were going through a sickness and you needed God to deliver you and you didn't hear a voice. Amen. God delivers us at all times. The problem is how we perceive the deliverance. Now, for instance, Wednesday morning I was not happy. I think I was more upset that I had wrecked my car than anything. And when I saw I was going to hit her, I cried, oh my God. in the midst of all of that, God pointed out something to me later on. Because I was angry. I'm not going to lie to you. I was angry. I was upset. Because I assumed if she hadn't have been on the phone or doing whatever she was doing, she would have saw us all coming. She was going to get hit. Either if it was by me or by the car next to me, it just so happened I was in front of the car next to me. So I was the first one to meet her. And I was angry. And then I began to think within myself, if I had to stop to get me a cup of coffee, or if I had to stop to do this, maybe I would have missed her. But then God reminded me, he says, you pray every morning before you leave, God protect me, this car, and the people around me, so that none of us will ever get hurt. He says, do you remember that prayer? I said, yes. He said, well, live by her. And then I can't be with First Lady and say something. She just lets me have it. She does it in a loving way. I can't get mad at her. But that's some of the things we deal with. Which is, Father, here I am in absolute darkness. I see no way of escape. I don't see my way of getting out. Nobody's there to assist me. Or they don't understand what I'm going through to assist me. And I can't hear your voice. I don't feel your hand. I don't sense your spirit. But you know what he did? He trusted God. In the midst of his darkness, he trusted his Father. He never got an answer. I never read where it said he got an answer. There's a lot of times we won't hear from God in the midst of our trials. We'll have to stand on what? Faith. And our confidence in what he's already told us. And then the third nail, in closing, was a nail of surrender. Instead of fearing death, he accepted it. And he accepted it by saying, Father, I now commit my spirit back to you. I've taken the sins of man and I've become as ugly as humanity, but now I'm ready to commit myself back unto you.
All right.
We have to trust God in spite of, and a lot of the things we go through are not to destroy us or to make us angry or to discourage us or to break us down or make us feel unwanted, but it's to make us draw closer to him. But our perception has to change. We have to understand that all these things we go through have a purpose and an intent. Amen. We don't know why we go through the things we go through. We don't know why we get sick unto death sometimes. We don't know why we have different things happening in our bodies. We have no idea, but one thing we do know, we have our confidence in God. Amen. Many of you have been there and you know what God has been able to do. And some of you still experience sickness on a very unusual basis. But your faith is in God. Amen. Your confidence is in him. Jesus did these things with the three nails. And then when we talk about the nail of submission or the nail of surrender, we talk about when they nailed his feet. They didn't separate his feet, but they nailed him together. When you talk about feet and you talk about the number two, you're talking about witness. He wasn't just dying for our sins, but he was a witness, a pattern for the way we ought to live and the things we ought to go through and the way we're supposed to stand in the midst of it all.
Amen.
Paul coined it perfectly. He said, having done all to do that you can stand, therefore stand. When you get tired of standing in yourself, it's time you give it to God. You say, well, I know some folks say, well, you ought to give it to him first. It ain't that easy. And if they tell you it's that easy, they're lying. It's not that easy. Your flesh is always going to play a big part in what you think, how you feel, how you see things, and what you hear. That's when you surrender to God. You surrender to the Word of God. You surrender to the Spirit of God. You're not always going to feel the Spirit of God or the presence of God, but just one thing you can remember and know for a fact, that He says, I'll be with you always, even until the end.
Amen.
So He's always with us. The only separation we have from God is the separation between our ears. Jesus said, take up this cross and follow me. So He was saying, you got to deal with the nail. You got to keep with the three nails. You have no choice. So it's up to us. We know what this time of season represents, but we know that it's always. But like I said earlier, it's special to us because we know, we feel, we sense, and we understand what Jesus died and rose for. He couldn't have rose unless He died. He couldn't have died and He wouldn't have rose. It was a pattern telling us that we must die daily, that the Spirit of the living God might manifest Himself in us to the fullness of God. That's what we do. That's where we go. And that's how we're going to do the darn thing. We're going to live for Him. Amen. We're going to live for Him. Thomas, do you have to doubt here? Look, dude. If you got to touch me, touch me. Get up. I'll even remove my sandals so you can see the nail in my foot. And what's so special about the nails in his feet is that they nailed his feet like this. So if he put one on top of the other, either way, there would be one hole. Talking about the oneness of God, the authority and dominion of God. So we have the number three, nails, talking about corporate authority, power, the Trinity. We have the number two, talking about the hour of witness. And then we have the one, speaking of the oneness and the authority of God, which is in all of us, which we have to rise to the occasion and show forth the glory of God. And I tell myself this all the time, pastors, I don't like it, but I don't have no choice. It's not that I done paid too much of a price to give up now. It's the fact that I understand what He paid that I could get to this point. Because I remember what I was. Amen. And every time I look in the mirror, I can see, Brother Tyrone, what I was. I'm reminded on a daily basis when I look in the mirror, remember when. That's why Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind you and pressing forward. That means that when you look in the mirror, you see your past, you have to tell your past, I'm greater than you. Jesus came that I might have life.
Yes.
And that I might live in abundancy. You know what I take abundant life to mean? Is that when I'm sick, I still have victory. When I don't have the money I need, I'm still blessed. When there's discouragement all around me, I can still have joy. When there's hell raising up all around me, I can still have the peace of God. That's what abundancy is. We still have the ability. ability to glorify God in spite of our circumstance, in spite of our situation, in spite of our pains, in spite of our aggravation. Why? Because Jesus died on that cross. When I think about the goodness of Christ, all I can say is amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Everybody stand. The moment I realized that there was another person in me trying to lead me astray. Paul said, when I try to do good in the book of Romans, evil is always present. The word evil in the Greek means depravity, depraved in nature. There's always something in me trying to provoke me and lead me astray. From the moment I found that out, I've been catching hell. But you know what I found out about hell? It has no victory. It has no authority. And it has no dominion over me. Because I've been born by the blood. And I overcome every day by the word. The dominion, the power, the authority of my testimony. Take somebody by the hand this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we have been graced with the ability to assemble here this morning, to strengthen in each other, encourage each other, and always remind each other why you died, why you got on that cross and took the beating that you took for us. And story have not been told, the truality of how much you suffered on your way to that cross. But Father, we understand what your son did. We understand that he became a pattern for our lifestyle, a pattern for our ideas, a pattern for our speech. So Father, as we get ready to go into a new year, remembering and standing fast on the authority of your word, Father, prepare us for any situation. Prepare us for any circumstance. Lord, any mountain that stands in front of us, Father, give us the ability to see past the mountain and see the authority and the victory on the other side of it, so that we can press our way through, we can bore through it. Father, prepare our minds with humility and understanding. Lord God, create in us a clean heart so that we can learn to forgive those that have trespassed against us, Father, and that have abused us and taken advantage of us. We can still forgive them, and we'll know we'll forgive them because when we see them, we'll realize that we have actually have forgotten what they did. And Father, teach us to submit ourselves, therefore, unto you, that you might get all the glory in the and all the honor for the life that we live before you. Now, Father, we understand that you know more than anybody that we're not perfect, but we're striving for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ. And we're pressing our way in, Father, to that prize. So, Father, we pray for your strength. Well, most importantly, we pray for your agility so that we can move like the palm tree, Father. We can bend with the winds and the storms, Lord God, without our roots being plucked up or without our branches being broken. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you this morning for having your way in and around our lives, Father. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, bless us, Lord God, accordingly. And let this day be a a day of honor and a day of praise and a day of worship. Father, regardless of whether we're with our families or with our friends or wherever we may be, let us always be reminded that you died on that cross and they nailed those nails in your hands and in your feet for our strength and for our authority and for our dominion in you. So, Father, I thank you this morning for blessing your people. Lord God, for encouraging them and strengthening them on today. Have your way in our lives, Father, and we offer you a praise and we say amen. Amen. And amen. 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 While you're still standing, that's right.
Momo Kushiba Bobosi, Salara Kiyomo da Masanda, Yebo Si Siki Kiyomo.
For surely these three nails were nails of deliverance. For in the midst of his pain, I delivered you. In the midst of his pain, I strengthened you. And in the midst of his pain, I saved you. Therefore, remember these things and praise and glorify me, not so much with your mouths, but with your feet and your walk, with your hands and your works. Amen. That you might be able to make the same statement as Paul may have said, that his word, he said, I show you my faith by my works. And when he was talking about his works, my children, he wasn't talking about raising the dead and healing the sick. He was talking about the ability that he had to live for God in the midst of whatever trouble that he was in. He said in his by in his word that I became what they were in order that I might save many.
Yeah, yeah.
So my children, judge not those that are around you, but in the midst of it all, lift me up with your attitude and with your disposition, and you shall see the glory of the living God manifest itself and touch lives that you thought were untouchable.
Yes.
Therefore, glorify me this day, for this is surely the day that the Lord hath made, and I made this day, therefore, I give you the right and the authority to praise me in it, saith God. Everybody get your tithing out.